This is Optimal Work Daily, episode 1057. You get the performance you expect. And Imagine I Wasn't Here, both by Douglas Lang of ultras.co.nz. And I'm Dan, and this is where I read to you from some of the very best blogs on work life in about 10 minutes or less every single day. And sometimes the posts we find are actually even shorter than that, so today I'm going to be reading two for you in the same episode. And let's get to it now as we optimize your life. You Get the Performance You Expect by Douglas Lang of ultras.co.nz. I recently reread some research on the Pygmalion effect, and it made a sufficient impact on me to think that it would be useful to share more widely, as a reinforcer for those of you who already know and hopefully apply it, as well as for those of you who have not yet heard of this psychological phenomenon. The Pygmalion effect says that the greater the expectation placed upon people, the better they perform. So, as a leader, if you believe that an individual has the ability to deliver a high level of performance, when you give them the opportunity to demonstrate this, they are more likely to rise to this challenge. Studies carried out in schools, the military, and business show that in scientifically controlled conditions, where a teacher, commanding officer, or manager is led to believe they are working with a group of more talented people, even if they aren't, they will consciously or subconsciously treat them differently from those people who they believe to have less talent. The net result is that the group of quote-unquote talented people performs to a high level. This has profound implications for leaders and organizations. How many people in your team do you see as high performers compared with lower-level performers? Have you ever thought about how your inherent belief about the ability of an individual might translate into the way you treat them, and therefore the level of performance you expect them to deliver? According to the Pygmalion effect, if you believe that someone is only capable of average work, you may subconsciously treat them in a way that gives out a signal to that effect. Then, surprise, surprise, you get a mediocre level of performance, which serves to reinforce your belief. And so the vicious circle or self-fulfilling prophecy continues. What would happen if you wiped the slate clean and looked at all of your people as having particular strengths and therefore being capable of delivering high-quality work, albeit perhaps in different ways? What would happen if you started to expect a high level of performance from all of your people and gave them work that reinforced that belief? Is it possible that some people who you may have previously written off due to past experience or feedback from other people that has colored your view could prove to be potential stars and deliver performance that starts to question your previously held belief? I realize that applying this approach is asking you to adapt to what may be quite strongly held views about the capability of some individuals in your team, and that won't be easy. But if you believe the research, the expectations we have about people do have a dramatic impact on what we notice and how we treat them. Simply becoming more aware of your beliefs and choosing to have a go at looking at things with a new pair of eyes might yield some significant benefits for you, the individual, and the team. I believe you have great ability as a leader, so I see no reason why you can't take on this challenging piece of work and do it brilliantly. Are you ready to put the Pygmalion effect to the test? Imagine I Wasn't Here by Douglas Lang of ultras.co.nz. Last week, I was involved in a workshop where we were training participants how to adopt more of a coaching style of leadership. A couple of questions were asked in the workshop about how well staff would accept being asked questions in a coaching style rather than being told what to do. In my response to the questions, I referred to my previous experience in a leadership position where I experienced the power of taking a coaching approach almost by accident. When I was still a fairly new manager in a former life, I often found myself in a position where a member of my team would come to me with a problem or a question about something that I knew next to nothing about. My excuse at the time, and I'm sticking to it, was that I had been promoted quickly through the ranks and therefore hadn't had time to learn all the ins and outs of everything the team dealt with. As a result, I was often unable to provide the kind of direct response that I might have done in an area where I was very familiar with the subject or issue. So, instead of providing an answer, I resorted to asking them some more questions and for their thoughts about what we should do, taking what I now know to be a coaching approach. I never failed to be surprised how often, at the end of a 5-minute conversation with me asking questions and them coming up with ideas, they walked away having either solved the issue themselves or with some new ideas on things to look at as possible solutions without me actually giving them an answer. One of my favorite questions in this kind of interaction was to ask, "What would you do if I wasn't here?" In response, the team member would regularly reel off a list of the actions they would take. Assuming they sounded plausible, more often than not, I'd end the conversation by encouraging them to take these steps and let me know how things turned out. After all, they were much closer to the issue than I was, and probably had more specific and relevant knowledge anyway, so who was I to disagree? I found that often staff are simply looking to run through their ideas with their manager as a way of confirming their thinking about a particular issue, rather than wanting to have it solved for them. Giving them the space and permission to run through their thoughts can be both empowering and confidence-building, as well as a way of reducing their reliance on you to solve issues. Over time, as their confidence increases in their own ability to deal with things, you'll probably find them coming to you less and less as they realize they have the ability to deal with many issues themselves. So, in summary, to build confidence in your team members and free up time for yourself in the long run, do the following. 1. Resist the temptation to jump in too quickly to ask your question again or to provide a solution. 2. Ask for their ideas on what to do. And 3. Ask, "What would you do if I wasn't here?" You just listened to the posts titled, "You Get the Performance You Expect," and "Imagine I Wasn't Here," both by Douglas Lang of ultras.co.nz. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. And one of the things I really love about Indeed is that it filters out those incompatible applicants. So when you're hiring, the process is much faster and you only have to consider applicants that are already likely to be a great fit. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at indeed.com/startup. So just go to indeed.com/startup right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/startup. Terms and conditions apply. And a big thank you to the members of the Ultras team for bringing us this couple of posts today. Ultras is all about releasing potential within teams and their leaders to deliver sustainable results for organizations. They specialize in leadership development and executive coaching, and Douglas, who you heard from today, has over 15 years of experience in project and team management with a top company, working in organization development and information technology. He's operated in various senior roles with responsibility for up to 70 people. So thanks again to Douglas for all of his wisdom across our shows, and come on by ultras.co.nz to learn more. And that's going to wrap up another episode of Optimal Work Daily. I appreciate you being here with me today and every day, and I'll see you back here tomorrow, where your optimal life awaits.